We've had round one, or you can say opening round, magic round. Well, it's not magic round, but it was fucking magic. The looks, the FOMO we all got. We were Dylan and I were talking about the FOMO. It was incredible in Vegas on Thursday last week, or Thursday just gone, however you guys want to look at it. It was incredible. Absolute scenes at Allegiant Stadium. Over 40,000 people packed the stands, and that's not including, the players' families. This is a good 15,000 Aussies went over there to watch it. It was incredible, but we'll get into that a bit later. For the intro, of course, guys, we'll be giving you a round recap. We'll be giving you a round preview, along with a lot of other news to do with the Broncos throughout this week. And obviously, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the Spencer Lanier debacle, but that's all to come in this week's episode of Bronx Nation. Guys, sponsor. Obviously, we've got a great sponsor come on board, as you will see in Dylan's screen and over up here in my screen. We've got Energy Pro, the official sports beverage of Bronx Nation podcast for the 2024 NRL season. Obviously, guys, we've got a bit of a readout that they've given us, so I'll read that out to you guys, and then we'll get started and crack a cold one with the boys. Experience the fusion of energy and nutrition with Energy Pro. Elevate your hydration game like never before with no added sugar, all natural colors and flavors, and up to 25 grams of protein per serve. Compared to Body Science's one that they make, they only have about 10 to 15 grams. Also, caffeine boosted flavors as well. You also have a non-caffeine option as well. They are Hustler approved, which means athletes, come to us. If you want to be sponsored by Energy Pro and you're in the Q Cup or you're in, Malmaninga Cup, hit us up and we'll set you up with Energy Pro. Hustler approved is incredible. Experience the refreshing transformation with Energy Pro. It's not just protein water, it's your new essential ally. Together, let's break barriers, build a future where fitness and wellness are accessible to all. Anyway, guys, I'm currently rocking the Rapid Charge flavor. It's kind of like a watermelon-y type base. And
Yeah, pretty
Reese's got
good.
that. It's really nice. Dylan, have you had a chance to have a swig on yours yet, mate?
Yes, I have. It's an interesting taste, but yeah, it's good.
I find the Arctic Russia's the one that you've got is quite guava type, kind of like a
Yeah.
watered down V almost sort of thing.
It definitely gives you a kick if you're
Oh,
playing
absolutely.
footy or whatever.
Oh,
Any
absolutely.
kind
Well,
of
I mean, the
sport.
caffeine, it's got, I think, 120 or 150, I may be wrong in assuming that, milligrams of caffeine, which is the allowed amount in a 500 ml bottle. And guys, this is only 500 ml, so it's quick on the go. If you're struggling for, your breakfast or, you need your protein or, these guys are even stocked in anytime fitness gyms, so they're above board. The way I like to describe it to anyone who doesn't know what it is it's kind of like if Gatorade Zero, so without the sugar, Gatorade Zero, Monster, and protein whey powder made a love child. And that's what this drink is. What are your thoughts on the drink, Reese?
Yeah, mate. I reckon it's pretty good, actually. I have to be honest, it's not my cup of tea, but the kids love it. My nephew plays footy, so he's been drinking it all week for training, and so yeah, he's absolutely hooked on it.
Oh, that's ripper. Well, we'll be sure to relay that message, obviously, to the owner, which anyone who's listening, the owner, well, one of the owners of Energy Pro, Trent, will be joining us next week. Sorry, not next week, the week after for our Panthers Broncos round preview, because he's a Panther tragic, but we won't hold that against him. But before we get stuck into anything else, no team has finished on nil in round one and gone on to win the grand final. So maybe that's signs to come for the Broncos and not the fucking Penrith Panthers. Anyway,
Let's hope,
let's
mate.
go. Let's go, Broncos. Rightio, guys, let's get stuck into our Energy Pro round recap. Round one, we played the Roosters in Vegas. What a spectacle. I'll pass it over to Dylan first for what your thoughts were about Vegas in general. And then we'll cross over to Reese after that for a Roosters recap.
Yeah, I think Vegas. I really liked the whole occasion. I think it was great. So in the game, I could tell very early that wasn't our night. For one, I think the playing field was just too narrow for to suit our playing style. We just gave away too many 20-meter restarts with the kicking game, and thought Kevy would have probably recognised this and decided to play through the middle rather than wide.
Yep.
Thought we played too lateral and it was too easy to shut down for Roosters, and we ran ourselves out of room. Every
Now
single attacking play, basically. Yeah.
that's fair enough. And Reese, what are your thoughts on that? Because my opinion of it is exactly what Dylan said. You would think that we realize at halftime what we're doing isn't working for us, adjust to bloody playing up through the middle like every other team did In Vegas, it is.
I was pumped for the game. Super excited. Yeah. Vegas, mate. I was so excited. Couldn't believe it. Bit let down from by the game. The boys' performance. Oh, you know, if we had got me on Wednesday, I probably would have said a whole different thing than what I'm going to say now. But yeah. I watched the game again. Piakura going off early didn't help. Carrigan goes out to the edge. Oh, I think the boys just sort of got into trying to play around them too early, not earning the right to go through the middle. It's just one of those games. Reynolds' kicking game was off. We couldn't get in the groove. Hats off to the Roosters. They outplayed us in every facet. But it's not panic stations just yet.
No, gosh, no. It's only round one.
Yeah, but disappointing. But, you know, it was really good sort of experience just to be over there, to watch it in Vegas and everything.
Oh, absolutely. And Dylan, mate, you were copping a lot of FOMO and you're like, right, I want to be there next year. Even if the Broncos aren't there, you want to be there, which I don't blame you, mate. We do have an unfortunately sensitive topic to talk about, unfortunately, from that Roosters Broncos game. And it's the Spencer Lemieux, Ezra Mann debacle. As two very proud Indigenous men yourselves, what's your take on the entire situation, guys? Start with Reese first, because we started with Dylan first in the last topic.
Yeah, CJ, it's a tough one, mate. Proud Indigenous man, you know, I don't cop racism in any sort of facet. I mean, you know, Lemieux coming out sort of after the game and sort of brushing it aside, sort of
playing it off like it was nothing.
Yeah, and I thought of that put a lot of people off at first, that he, you know.
That put a sour taste in my mouth, yeah.
And even though he has come back and he's apologised and
but Mann, you know, has come out and said he doesn't accept that apology.
Yeah, so, yeah, well, as I said, it's a tough one. Everyone's going to have different opinions on it.
Yep.
But as I said, I stand with Ezra and say no to racism.
Absolutely. Just before I cross over to you, Dylan, even in the Premier League, they literally have a badge on their sleeve that says no room for racism, because there's absolutely no room in any sport, professional or not, for racism, especially in this day and age. Dylan, mate, go ahead with your thoughts on it all as a proud Indigenous man of, if I'm not mistaken, Bundjalung Bob.
Yeah, proud Indigenous, and Reece pretty much covered everything that I was going to say. I think it was pretty brave of Spencer to come out and admit, but in the same thing, I think that the NRL should make an example of it and throw the book at him. But
I'm hoping we
can move past this and move on, and yeah, say no to racism.
In terms of a suspension, CJ, what do you reckon?
Okay, so I was actually been thinking about this. So the last time a racism one happened, it was 8 weeks. So that's, in my opinion, the minimum that he should be given, because that's the precedent set from the previous racism scandals, the debacle. So I reckon minimum 8 weeks. But I think he shouldn't pay for the whole season, such as Luttrell is saying. I reckon I would be, as a non-Indigenous person, because what example is this setting to anyone, let alone Indigenous or not? I think 12 weeks, in my opinion, I'd be comfortable with. 8 weeks, okay, you know, 8 weeks, okay, because, you know, that's what the previous one got. But it depends on, you know, how the judiciary finds the intent. And in my opinion, he doubled down in that post-match interview, which means he wasn't remorseful until the Broncos decided, you know what, we're going to have to lodge a fucking, you know, claim this, that, the other with the thing. So until that time, he thought he was in the clear, got away with literal, casual fucking racism. So I think, in my opinion, I won't be okay with anything less than 12 weeks. What about yourself, Reid?
Yeah, mate, like, as I said, it is a tough one. You said that 8 weeks was a precedent. So, yeah, mate, did he make a stupid remark? You know, he's a proud Islander man himself. So, you know, he's probably got to put up with his mum and his father, probably, you know, giving him a kick up the backside saying, you bloody idiot. But, 8 weeks. I'm just going to say 8 weeks. Don't give him 12. I think 12 is just a bit too much.
Okay, fair. And what about yourself, Dil?
Yeah.
Meet us in the middle. Nah, kidding. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I'm with Reece there. I think it'd be good to just move quickly past this.
Yeah.
Maybe just give him 4 weeks, 4 weeks max. And okay. Just move past it, because what I don't like is this, you know, the Vegas, the whole Vegas thing. This is the main talking point. So
yeah, it is very unfortunate of the entire spectacle that came out of it as being the headline grabber sort of thing, not the immaculate scenes at the stadium. And you know what? Pardon me. We've got even more topics to do with Vegas. First of all, the standard of the officiating at the Vegas matches. Dylan, I'll cross to you, mate, first for your thoughts on that.
I thought the reffing was fine. I loved how the referee put the whistle away, just like the grand final last year.
I love that so much. Yeah.
Look, we're not going to get the calls all the time, but hats off to the referees for the way they refereed. I thought it was a 9 out of 10 performance.
Like literally both games. I especially noticed it in the first game. There was, I think Ash Klein was reffing the first game. It was the Rabbitohs Manly game. I literally counted. I think there was only 6 penalties blown all bloody game. There was a few six again, but he was Adam G like last year, let the game flow.
Well, it took to the 74th minute, I believe, in the Rabbitohs Manly game for a penalty to come. So
exactly, there was a few six agains, and there was a few restarts, because of inner touch, that sort of stuff. But it was great. It was literally like watching all. I said to my housemate, it had a very Origin vibe about it.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, Rhys, what are your thoughts on the officiating of the Vegas round?
As I said, let's just talk some good news now. I just saw the South game, Manly. That was awesome.
See, what a standout.
The referee put his whistle away, and even watching last night's game, you could tell the difference between the officiating.
Yeah.
If they could just ref every week like last week, 50-50 calls, just let them go. But, I don't know, as I said, give credit where credit's due. The refs were very good last week.
Absolutely. Credit to Ashley Klein, and that's something I thought I would never say in my life. And credit to all the other officials and the sideline. Adam G and also the touchies. There was there was Wyatt Raymond and a few others over there. Wyatt Raymond, proud North Queensland kid. Not necessarily Cowboys, because obviously refs can't have a bias, but he is from the North Queensland area, so definitely a Queenslander over in Vegas, not just the Broncos, which is great to see. Absolutely. And obviously this one is in particular Reese's topic. NRL American Combine results. Talk to us about that, Reese.
Oh, yeah, mate. Yeah, very interesting. For the, they put out a sort of a call for all athletes, rugby players, NFL players, to go to an NRL Combine in Vegas.
Yep.
And, I've got the results here, mate.
Yeah.
They offered two contracts to two males.
Yep.
And two females to come out and do some training.
Like a training trial sort of
NRL teams.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And do you know those names, or do you just know that there was two women?
Yeah, just give it. I've just got my notes here.
Yep.
Brock Leach, he played a bit for the NFL for the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
And so, yeah, they put them sort of through a number of drills. You got the sprint, 20-meter sprint, kicking and catching, 1.2-kilometer shuttle run, tackling challenges, evasion drills and passing.
Yep.
A number of club CEOs were there in attendance.
Maybe we could see Brock Leach go from the Broncos to the Broncos.
Yeah, mate, it's going to be interesting. Like, I don't think any of the guys were sort of cut through into the NRL, but I think there's a real big market for the women. A lot of the USA women's rugby and that, being with the women's game hasn't really got to that big of a gap yet. That's where I think the girls can come over and sort of make a really big imprint. And that's only going to put more eyes back into America. And, the more athletes coming out and sort of, building that bit of I lost my thought there.
No, that's fair. And while you're thinking for a minute, speaking of women in the game, bit of a shout out. We were going to do it at the end of the episode, but because it's on topic, Dylan's niece, Bree Raymond, or Brianna Raymond, is making her debut, her actual starting debut with the Tweed Seagulls in the BMD Premiership today, actually, in particular, at time of recording. It'll be at 6:10 Queensland time, 7:10 New South Wales time, for the Tweed Seagulls BMD Premiership. To anyone who may not know what that is, that's the equivalent of reserve grade for the NRLW. So all it takes is, Breida have two or three ripper games, or maybe even hopefully a ripper season, and she could potentially be facing an NRLW contract. We want to wish her the absolute best over at the, Tweed Seagulls, and I'm sure Dylan will be looking on as a proud uncle.
Yeah, super proud. I watched a few weeks ago down at Burley in the trials. So, yeah, I wish Brianna all the best, and I'm sure she'll kill it.
Absolutely.
She's a gun.
Oh, absolute weapon. Well, I mean, when you think about it, she's played rugby in rugby sevens over in Dubai. She's played in the Oztag World Cup over in Ireland. She's literally built for footy, regardless of what code it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I actually call her
the Black Pearl because she has a similar running style to Steve Renoff.
Yeah, nice. And she's Indigenous as well, so even better.
Hey, CJ, and I'll let you know that Seagulls girls, the women's team, is really good to watch. Hey, I'm looking forward to watching.
I'll be watching it on Q Plus TV. To anyone who can't get to the game and can't get to a pub or club, get yourself onto Q Plus TV. Not sponsored, not a bloody ad. It's $9.99 a month, and you get every bloody game that your Q Cup sort of possibly has, the BMD Premiership, Mount Meninga Cup, Post Plus Cup, and even the Cyril Connell Cup and the juniors and whatnot. Unfortunately, they fucked off the cold time. I'm a bit pissed off at that, but that's all right. Yeah, guys, spend just the $9.99 a month, and you know what? You get every game. You literally get a whole nother round of footy, not just NRL. You get Queensland Cup, a whole extra bout of footy for only $9.99 a month, which is absolutely ripper. Rightio, so we've just covered the combine and the standard of the officiating. Okay, open discussion time for the next two topics. The reintroduction of a national youth competition for under-20s. First of all, where does this rumour come from, or is it actually happening?
I just think it's something that I've sort of thought that should be in the game for a long time. Yeah.
To help a gap between the New South Wales Cup and, like, Jersey Flag, yeah, should we, like, have that bridge in between?
Yeah, mate, yeah. I just think, you got your high school and then they, you know, sort of goes up to Queensland Cup. There's no sort of gap for them young kids that sort of haven't made that step up yet. And I think...
Gotcha.
And for a lot of kids that are still at high school, they're 18, 19, 20, just builds more interest. Clubs get to have a look at the younger players, obviously, and then they get put into better training and, habits,
They get into that nutrition early. They get into that training habits early, that sort of stuff. Kind of like how New South Wales Rugby League already has that, in the sense of they've got New South Wales Cup, which is reserve grade. Then they've got SG Ball, Harold Matz, Jersey Flegg, all those. Sort of, do you reckon you mean like combine all that to be a New South Wales sort of like they did back when it was the Toyota Cup sort of thing back in the day?
Oh yeah, totally. Like I was around sort of young bloke when that the Holden Cup sort of kicked off, and like what everyone doesn't sort of understand is like, so them young guys, they might not watch the NRL all weekend, you know, the main. But I know I didn't when I was 18, 19. I was partying all weekend. But I guaranteed I watched the boys that I played junior footy with and that were watching, that were playing the 20s, because I played junior reps with them, or, you know, I went to school with them, or their friends, you know, that's the eyes we've got to get on the game. That 18 to even 17 to 21,
not ready yet for reserve grade, but too good for the younger grades, sort of thing.
Yeah. No, totally. You've got the best. So you've got your under-20s, best of the best. They've got every club has a team.
Yeah.
And as I said, you've just still got your Q Cup level. And then another thing I think the NRL should put in is a high school competition for the under-18s.
So yeah, that'd be a pretty good idea.
You get your top 10 best schools in Queensland, top 10
like
schools
Canberra in Park, Innes, like Canberra Park,
PBC,
Currumbin, St. Ignatius, all those. Yeah, like, yeah. And then you'd get like, you'd get, what's the ones down here? Patrician Brothers or whatever it's called.
Hunter Sports High. Patrician Brothers, Blacktown.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one, yeah. You'd definitely get a lot of those. You know what? That'd be a ripper idea.
I just think like it might cost a bit at first, but as Valandis has sort of proven, is if you're willing to spend money, you can. There's money to be made.
Oh, and absolutely! In the long run, that will only benefit the game because it's helping produce a quality product and a quality of player ready to seamlessly transition into the youth competition and then into the NRL sort of thing.
Well, that's another point I was going to make. You've got your tiers set. You know, you've got your NRL, your Queensland Cups, then you've got, you know, your country rugby league opens men's competition, and then under 20s is there. Bang.
Yeah.
They come straight out of high school, straight in the under 20s, or you go back to your bush, you know, your local country club.
Yeah, exactly. What are your thoughts on that, Dylan? I actually think that's a ripper idea. Let's get your take on it.
Yeah, I agree. Reece pretty much covered everything I said once again. So I do miss the NYC competition. I think it was good to sort of showcase the up and coming NRL, well, potential NRL talent. And so I haven't really got much knowledge or anything on it. So that's my thoughts.
That's fair enough. Another open discussion topic, well, I'll start with Dylan because we started with Reece in the last one, was should the NRL spend their extra revenue, or not all of it, but a bit of it, on a better grand final act? I'll put my 2 cents worth in. I think don't invest in US and other countries' superstars. Invest in the Australians. You know, do you guys remember going to the Broncos games in like 2017 and Shepherd? We're doing the opening act at Broncos games at Suncorp, like every 2 or 3 weeks. Like, don't get me wrong, they've got a bit of boring songs, you know, like Geronimo and all that, but like, that was a great fucking act that the Broncos organized as their own subsidiary sort of thing. You know, maybe get something like that, or get a bit of, you know, just not, doesn't even necessarily have to be Aussie, but maybe get Kid Leroy. He's Aussie, Indigenous himself. Get him in the fucking, get him in the mix. He's a massive NRL fan as well, you know? Invest in that. Like, that's just my thoughts. What are your thoughts, Dylan?
Yeah, I mean, everyone can have their thoughts. I think that, you know, the pre-game entertainment, it needs to sort of be neutral. Like, everyone needs to enjoy it. In my opinion, I don't think, like, someone like Kid Leroy is the right person. Like, someone like, I think the 2015 Grand Final was a perfect example. We had Paul Chizzle playing beforehand. That just got the crowd pumped and vibed for the grand final. So I think someone like, just you play Cole Chisel every year and you'd be sweet with it.
Well, you see, I get that, but also rugby league is, unfortunately, you've got to think of the progression. You know, there's no longer, then they're not going to have bands, unfortunately, as much as we want them to have them, etc. The closest thing to a band that the grand final has had is Kiss at the AFL grand final last year. You know, it was actually awesome. I don't know if you watched it, but it was awesome. Kiss was ripper. It was old mate at half time. That was bullshit. He killed the vibe, apparently. Anyway, the NRL one, it's just, you know, unfortunately, Macklemore, you know, he was great in that. I think it was the Sharks, Brewster, Sharks grand final.
All right, CJ. You're never going to please everyone. You're gonna, you got your NRL supporters that you rock. Oh, I love me rock. I love me hip hop. You're never going to please everyone.
Singing, "What's My Team?" Well, that's my team. That'd be great,
mate. They could have bloody crowd karaoke for all I care, because I'm there to watch the football. They should concentrate more on having another game on during the game if it's a junior rep game or something. And it's got obviously, I think, it's got to make it more of a spectacle of the day.
When you think I remember the 06 grand final, and they had the National Youth Comp, they had the, you know, they had 2 or 3 grand finals before the actual grand final on the day. Like, my dad took me, my mum, my sister. We all went down to like 9 a.m. because there was 3 grades grand finals right up until like an hour and a half before. Then they obviously put the pre-game show on, all that sort of stuff. But, you know, that was fucking ripping. As you said, maybe even do that. You know, have the New South Wales Cup grand final on and the Queensland Cup grand final before that. And then maybe, if they bring back the youth comp, have a youth comp grand final sort of thing.
Yes, 100%. But well, they got the national state championship now because the cups, state cups, play their grand final the week before the NRL GF. So that's I like that. I like having the state championship, the women's grand final, the men's. But I think they do need one more game beforehand.
Maybe have the Koori versus Murray carnival, even though they usually have that. But have that, the winners of that. But then again, actually, Koori Knockout is always on grand final weekend every year anyway. Yeah. So unfortunately, they wouldn't be able to. But
I don't know what they're going to do, but I think another game on grand final day. Mate, good rock and roll band. You can't go wrong. Or just once, just bust out bloody Eye of the Tiger. I don't care.
I'm
there to watch the footy.
Yeah, fair. Fair. Obviously, we've got a few more topics to go, but we are going to take a quick break and give you guys our best 13 non-Broncos of all time. I'll start with mine. And I've got one position in particular that I've named one, but done an honourable mention. Again, these are all non-Broncos. So at fullback, Billy Slater.
Yeah,
pardon me. At the wing, I've got Alex Johnston. He's closing in on the try-scoring record. You can't go past that. He will literally get it within the next 2 years. Even with injury, he will get it. It's not a matter of if, it's when. Then in the centres, I've got Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Welcome back. He's out of the centre, technically. And Stephen Bell, former Queensland player and Manly player. Very underrated. And on the wing, on the other wing, I've got Manu Vatuvei. In the halves, I've got Luke Keary. People are probably thinking, what the fuck's he done? He's won three grand finals with two separate NRL clubs. You know, he won 2014 with South and two in a row with Roosters. So you can't really go past that at the moment. And at number seven, would be remiss if I didn't put Jonathan Thurston there. People are thinking I was going to say Andrew Johns. Thurston has won so many more individual accolades, including Golden Boots, grand final wins. He's equal with that. He's won more Dally M's and much more than Joey ever fucking did. So I'm sorry, but Jonathan Thurston takes number seven for me. In the locks, we've got Steve Price and Sam Burgess. We've got in the hooker position, this is the honourable mention, we've got Cameron Smith as that, but honourable mention to RP Coruscant. Again, he's won three grand finals with two different clubs, Souths and two with Penrith. So again, you can't really go past that. Obviously, with the second rowers, we've got literally the guy that has the most tries scored of any forward ever, Steve Menzies. And then we've got two-time grand final winner and Clive Churchill medalist Luke Lewis in the other second row position. In lock, we've got Scotty Sattler because grand final winner, Queenslander, and that tackle. And coaching him, Tim Sheens. Three grand final wins with the coach as at the Raiders and one grand final win of the coach with the Tigers. He is the closest to Wayne Bennett as any other one will get in the modern era because people will be like, oh, Bellamy and Trent Robbo. No, not until they coach another separate team to a grand final win will they even be on Wayne Bennett's level. And the closest to that is Tim Sheens because he's done it with two separate clubs multiple times. So that's my opinion. Fuck your chicken strips. Let's go with Reece and you're starting your best non-Broncos 13.
Oh, mate, I really liked your team. It's very interesting to listen to other people's point of views and that on players. And yeah, no, I liked a lot of players in your team, mate. I think we've got
Did you adjust some, I'm guessing, as you were looking down at your
No. Okay. I kept them pretty much. It is tough because, you know, as we're all Broncos supporters and it's rattling off through your head, they played for Broncos, you know. So it's hard to go past Billy Slater at fullback. One of the best ever to do it.
Yeah.
I've actually got Nathan Merritt on the wing.
Ooh, good option. Leading
try scorer from the Rabbits when they finished last in the competition.
Yeah. Isn't that insane, that stat?
That's what I mean. Really underrated Nathan Merritt. I've got Big Mel in the centres with Laurie. I think the two of them, their record speaks for themselves. And Brett Morris on the other wing.
I just wasn't sure whether I should or not.
Mate, what he done for New South over a number of years, just and Australia. So yeah, he's really good. And I've got Thurston and Joey in the half. So Thurston at six and Joey at seven.
Okay, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, I think Thurston played a lot of good 5-8 at number six, and having Joey inside him organising and will just free up Thursto just to sit out wide, throw some dummies and toss the ball out to Grego and Nathan Merritt on the wings.
Yeah, nice. Okay.
And then also up front, I've got big Arthur Beetson, watched him a few times towards the back end of his career. Danny Badiris at hooker and big Ruben Wickie, the other front rower. I think he was just a standout for New Zealand Warriors.
I'm surprised you didn't put him at centre, which is where he won the grand final in.
Who, Big Wiki? Yeah, but I remember more of him in his veteran stage at the Warriors leading that young pack around. So that was sort of imprinted in there.
They all grew beards for him in his final year.
Yeah. Yeah, mate, yeah. Inspirational player, Ruben Wiki. And it's tough. I've got all New South Wales back row of Ben Kennedy, who was absolute...
I was going to put Ben. I was like, I was like, nah, I don't. But yeah, I was going to.
I know. He was a beast for Newcastle and Manly. Brad Clyde, I had him in my team last week. And got Brad Fittler at lock.
Okay, I would have swapped that. I would have put Brad Fittler and Brad Clyde swapped.
Oh, what? Fittler in the back row? Second row?
Yeah, because Clyde mainly played at lock more so for his career.
He was more number 12, mate, for the Raiders.
Mm. And well, Clyde won his two Clive Churchill at lock.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And that was one of them was from a losing grand final as well that he got it from lock.
Yeah, fair enough, but I just think
everyone's opinion is different, of course.
Yeah, but a lot of mine was just for New South Wales when he was more than number 12 a lot.
Okay, that's makes more sense because he played out of position
Freddie
for the Blues.
I had to fit Freddie
well,
in a lot.
You didn't have to, you chose to.
Oh, Freddie, everyone,
Freddie
is
the coach.
Polarizing. Yeah, no, but he's a shit coach. He was a way better footballer.
He is, that's true. Okay, well, then who you got coaching him?
Oh, mate, well, everyone's going their goats, the best of all time, Wayne Bennett, Craig Bellamy's, whatever. Mate, I've just gone my hero, one from one, Origin, Fatty Vorton, legend of the 95 team. We don't need – the team doesn't need a coach to coach him. They just need someone to set them out, have a good time. And I've got Elfie as my head water boy.
Yeah, nice. Our 14th man on the field, yeah.
Party liaison.
Absolutely. And Dylan, what's your starting or, best non-Broncos 13?
Yeah, so I've gone Billy Slater at fullback. Best ever, in my opinion. On the wings, I've got Brett Morris, probably the best winger, in my opinion, of all time. And Brian To'o from Penrith.
Okay.
Yeah, in the centres, I've got Greg Inglis and Matt Cooper.
Oh, good shout.
Yeah, it was hard.
And
New South Wales centres, Cooper and Gasnier.
Yep. And my halves are the exact same as Reece. Thurston and Andrew Johns in the halves.
Okay.
Six and seven. Up front, I've got Luke Ruben Wiki and James Graham.
Jammer, yep, very nice.
Yeah,
a hooker, Cameron Smith. And the back rowers are Michael Crocker and Luke Lewis.
Okay.
And lock forward, Sam Burgess. Coach is Craig Bellamy.
Bellyache, okay, very nice. Yeah, Ripper, okay.
Yeah,
very nice. We've had very different but very similar in the sense of our fullback was the same and we all had Thurston in there as well. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, we're all Queensland as well. As I said, it's very hard trying to not pick a best 13 without any contact in it.
Well, I mean, honourable mention to Luke Keary, who's an Ipswich Jet junior, but somehow was only allowed to play for New South Wales, even when he wrote to the bloody commissioner. And they said, no, you've got to play for New South.
He's bloody from Ipswich and he has to play for New South. That's just terrible.
It's bullshit. He'd be the one that I wouldn't be mad at if he had chosen New South, because he's the one where he's literally played the equal amount to be eligible for both. Like, ticks three boxes for New South, ticks three boxes for Queensland, not mad at whatever. But even he wrote to the commissioner saying, can I play for Queensland? And he was like, nah, eligible for New South. What a crock of shit. Anyway, that's the debacle for Origin time, not now. let's get into Reece Walsh. Potentially, I don't know where we read this, but it says he's set to re-sign a $6 million 5-year deal. Where did you read this, Dylan?
No, I've seen it on Facebook pages, but who knows if it's true or not, but yeah.
It is fun to think about. Do you think he's worth $6 million over 5 years?
It's hard to say. He's pretty young in his career, so it's pretty early to say if he's actually a $6 million player. I think judging off the way he played last year, yeah, you could throw $1 million at him, but I think the 5 years is probably too much.
I'd throw $800 to $950 a year if I'm signing him on a 5-year deal. And then with a clause of like, if he meets certain things per year, like, 20 tries in a year or this, that, or the other, then it gets bumped up to $1 million in that year in particular. And so each year he scores those 20 tries or whatever, then he gets $1 million in that season sort of thing. What do you reckon, Ray?
Mate, good point, CJ. That was really like, a lot of coaches have performance clauses in their contracts.
Yeah,
I don't understand why certain players, if I was a club, I'd be, Reece Walsh to us at the moment, we cannot afford to let him go.
We've
seen what happened when he went to the Warriors and he carved up. It's just like watching your best mate go out and, get a top model. It's just, you don't want to see it.
Yeah.
But
you want it to be you, yeah.
Yeah, I want it to be me. I'm a bit jealous. But I think 1.2 over 3 years would be okay. I think any five-year deals are just too long in my eyes.
Five-year deal and we're shooting ourselves in the foot almost like we did with Milford sort of thing.
Exactly, mate. Yeah, players get too comfortable.
I'm really interested to see how Nico Hines goes signing that mega deal at the Sharks. If I'm being honest, like, he's there till, was it 2028 or 2029, something like that. And it's great, but again, that complacency, surely, like, obviously he'll play to win every year, but at what point does he be like, oh, you know what, busts his ACL, yeah, no worries, I've got another 6 years on my contract, sort of thing.
Exactly right, mate. That's what, that's what I was alluding to, is just the hunger. Because, you know, when Nico first made it, he was coming from the Storm at the Sharks, to the Sharks. He had to make a name for himself. He's done that. He's done very well. Now he gets this good deal. I'm not going to say he will transgress, but it's just, you're comfortable. You've got a house. You've got money in your bank. You know, you've got a contract for the next three, 4 years.
You've got a Dally M. You've got a grand final medal without stepping foot on the line, over the line on the field. Yeah.
He's not, you know, like the couple of years prior when he was, you know, busting his gut just to get on the field.
For a spot. Yeah. Exactly. No, I get you. And obviously, Reece Walsh, shoulder charge. Thoughts? Let's go with Reece on that one.
What was that, mate? Sorry?
The Reece Walsh shoulder charge.
Oh, yeah. What can I say? I'm a little bloke myself, mate. There's only some way you can sort of go into a tackle. In that situation, the winger's always going to try and make contact with the fullback, right?
Yeah.
Because he's going to use him as a leverage to get to the corner, right? Yeah. So, they're not going to make the say to the winger, you can't initiate contact.
Mm.
So I just think in that situation, not many. All right, yeah, it probably is a shoulder charge by what they say is a shoulder charge these days.
Yeah, by the definition, yeah.
But he's just there to brace. He's not there running out of the line to initiate contact. You know, he's just bracing for contact.
He's not going to swing his shoulder into him.
The winger's coming into him and he's coming across to save a try. Yeah, I think a fine's sufficient enough, mate. It's not even a shot.
It's not like he's Billy Slater leading with the feet to the head when someone's trying to score a try.
No, that's totally different, mate. Totally.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's unavoidable. I don't lead with my feet in the most tackles, do I?
No.
I lead with my shoulder or I'm running into someone.
Exactly. Unless you're Billy Slater. but yeah, Dylan, mate.
But if he made contact with the head, then fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
Of course, if he'd have made contact with, honestly, from this point up, absolutely, fine him and suspend him, but he didn't, no, exactly. Just how I don't see there's anything, it's very similar, not the same, but similar to the Hudson Young what's his name? Brain fighting hard right now, fucking Callum Ponga the other night, you know?
Yeah, go to Dylan.
Yeah, Dylan, what are your thoughts on that? It's very similar. I'd say in the sense of, granted, it wasn't a potential try-scoring thing, but, you know, granted Ponga's concussion and stuff, I'm just thinking, fuck, there was no intention. He didn't make contact with the head. So, in my opinion, it's an on-report, not a sin bin. Continue.
Mate, me and Reece talked about this last night watching the footy. I think it was deliberate. I think it should have been sent off.
Okay.
That's my opinion. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, fair. Very interesting topic. It is definitely one for all of the opinions, which is very good to hear that everyone has differing opinions about that. But obviously now it's time for... I'll put a little music, trivia. What do you got for us, Dylan? Now, we haven't obviously heard these questions or read these questions before. And I hope Dylan has worked on his question word.
I hope you don't get
so, obviously... So obviously, for the listeners, I'll explain the rules. Five question trivia, I'll ask the question, you both answer. I won't say the answer until after you've both given an answer. One point per correct answer. Both share the points equally if both correct. And with the Who Am I's, I'll give you five hints ranging from very hard, hard, moderate, easy, and very easy.
Also, quick question about that. With the Who Am I's, if, say, we get it in the middle when it's like medium, do we get 3 points for that? Or is it just 1 point regardless if we get it right?
Yeah. 1 point. I've got to change that. Okay. But you know, it's all fun. So question one is who am I? Very hard. I am Bronco number 216.
Jack Reed. Racy, your guess?
No. 216.
Just have a guess.
Immaculate.
Incorrect.
Okay, next one.
Okay, hard Hard. I was born in Castleford, West Yorkshire, England in 1990.
Oh, Harvey Howard, Broncos. Is it Harvey Howard?
Greg Eden.
CJ, you're correct.
Oh, Greg Eden. Yes.
Oh, no,
Greg.
Wow.
Oh, let's start it. 1-0.
Greg Eden is correct.
Greg Eden.
Yeah.
I was like, 1990. It's I didn't expect you to get that. Farnworth. It's too old to be Herbie Farnworth, but not too old at the same time.
He played 4 games for Broncos, I'm pretty sure. I don't know how he got that.
Yeah, he did.
Well, seven. He played 7 games.
I just know that there's been very few British people that have played for the Broncos. So I was like, it's not Herbie, and it's not fucking 2 or 3 others. So
you
I'm like, surely.
You probably wouldn't remember Harvey Howard.
I know
Mower.
The name. I do know that. I don't remember seeing him, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Okay, next one.
All right, so, okay, question 2. What minute in Sunday's game did Reece Walsh score?
Well, we only scored... It should be memorable because we only scored twice.
22nd?
I'm going to say 18th.
I can't remember.
Okay, way off. It's actually 59.
Ah, yeah, okay. That's a wash.
And so, I only just watched the replay the other day.
Fair. Next question.
Okay, question 3. What's our biggest win over an opponent since 1988?
Knights, round 11, 2007. That score, 71-6.
Reece?
Yeah, I was going to say the same.
Okay, right. It's actually incorrect. It's actually incorrect. It's answer is 76-0 against Halifax Blue Sox in round 3. Of the 97 World Club Challenge at ANZ Stadium in Brisbane.
He did say since 1988, so, and he didn't specify our biggest NRL win. Okay, fair. Very well fair worded. Enough. Slipped us up. Clever.
Halifax Blue Sox. What a team.
What a fucking name. Right,
yeah,
now it's Halifax Panthers.
All right, so, question 4. Michael Devere came out of retirement to play one more NRL game with the Broncos. What year was that?
2007.
No, you, He come back, didn't he?
No, it's actually 2009.
Oh, we were both wrong. Okay.
I tried to find the opponent. I tried to find who he played against. I couldn't find it. I'm pretty sure it was Newcastle, but
probably.
Okay, what was the question 5? And this is the last question. What was the venue where we won our last premiership in 06 named at the time?
Telstra Stadium.
No, it was just... I think it was just...
I may be wrong. Actually, let me look. No,
ANZ Stadium, wasn't it?
I just had a quick look after answering it. Yeah.
What did you say, Reece?
ANZ? Wasn't it just ANZ Stadium?
No, it's actually, Telstra Stadium. CJ got that.
As I was just saying, after I answered, I had a quick look because I've got the poster there. Of like the premier thing, and it says Telstra Stadium, but I didn't look. And for anyone who's listening and not watching the video, I didn't look until after I'd answered.
Yeah, I believe you, mate.
You would have seen it, right? Yeah. So how many?
Is that? That's done. So CJ 1-2-0.
Yeah.
Okay. So far it's overall 1 each now, because you won last week's round, I've won this one. Cool. Rightio, thank you for that trivia, Dylan. Next topic. We've got to smash this out because this is almost on a bloody hour.
NRL
Grand Final staying in Sydney 2024. Thoughts? I think it should stay in Sydney regardless. It shouldn't be going year by year, always in Sydney, in my opinion. We'll cross over to Dylan because he had some really interesting takes when I was messaging him about it the other day. Go ahead, Dylan.
Yeah, I think it should definitely stay in Sydney. Probably every 5 years. It should maybe move to Brisbane and only Brisbane. Don't move it to Melbourne. Don't move it to Adelaide. Don't move it anywhere else. I think that
it's traditionally, basically.
Yeah, it's traditionally, I went to the grand final in 21 in Brisbane, the first ever Suncorp grand final. And I'll be honest, it didn't really have that grand final feel about it. It just wasn't, I know it was a great game and all that, just didn't have that grand final vibe. So I think traditionally in Sydney is where it should forever stay. Maybe once every 5 years, move to Brisbane. But other than that, I'm happy to keep it in Sydney forever.
Yeah, fair. What do you reckon, Reece?
Yeah, mate, I'm traditionalist. The grand final has to be in Sydney forever. It's just
same with the AFL with the MCG. It's the same with Sydney.
Exactly. You can, yeah, exactly. So Broncos, we're pretty fortunate to have pretty much a grand final in second week of Caxton Street. You know, Broncos games are 50,000 packed out most weeks.
A fortress. It's literally a fortress, yeah.
And I think more, you know, tradition, but the game also needs that grand final in Sydney. I think Sydney needs that little kick of injection every year because Queensland, you know, we do rugby league so good that to get that grand final tradition in Sydney, everyone travels to Sydney. It just builds the vibe. And
literally, one of my mates who's a Raiders tragic, one of my mates who's a Raiders tragic, and his brother who's a Knights tragic, respectively. So they're from Ipswich. They're part of the Ipswich Jets committee and all that. They drove down from Ipswich in 2019 to go to the Raiders Roosters grand final. Granted, obviously, lost. But they drove down and they drove back. As you were just saying, everyone drives down or they drive up, they drive around to get to the grand final.
Yeah, mate, it's the you know,
a pilgrimage almost.
Sydney is the heartland of our game. In reality, you know, we can't, as much as we are Queenslanders and we know that we do rugby league the best. Sydney still is our heartland. We've got to protect that. And the grand final, it's got to stay in Sydney. I think they've got to get the suburban funding from the government for the grounds. I think that's what Valandis is sort of tickling about with the funding, which is sort of doing the one-year deals with Sydney. But, yeah, get that done and just put it 100 years in Sydney, mate.
Yeah, I reckon. Definitely agree. How can the NRL break into the American market? We'll start with Reece on that one.
Yeah, mate, I think we'll just Valandis is doing a great job at the moment. I think even just incorporating for that Vegas game, so the four teams would have players' names on the back, Origin.
Because there was commentators that were saying a lot about that. We see all these sponsors, but we don't know their names.
Yeah, well, to America, they don't really have sponsors on their jerseys and that in the
in sport, really, not just NFL.
No, yeah, NBA and that as well. So it's very foreign to them, you know, even seeing all I lost my train of thought there for a sec.
It was the sponsors and the naming and whatnot with names on the back.
Even just doing it for the Vegas weekend, and then they can auction off the jerseys and, you know,
for charity. And money goes to charity, I reckon. That's a bloody ripper idea. That's definitely some way to break into that. What do you reckon, Dil? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, pretty much what Reece said. I think, you know, Valandis has done an awesome job. I take my hat off to him. The naming, player names and that on the jersey is the way to go. I think also the NRL have done a really good job with promotion. I think, more of that. And I think it might be even worth taking the Magic round to Vegas.
Yeah.
Taking all 16 clubs. Obviously, one will have the bye, but maybe taking...
You see, I don't think next year is the right time to take Magic round.
No,
I reckon agree. After the five-year idea, I reckon. But in saying that, I would definitely like to see the... not it be Vegas. I'd like to see it be at a different venue each year over the next 5 years. Legion Stadium this year, maybe Lambeau Field next year, maybe MetLife Stadium the year after, that sort of thing, like big, like the same size sort of thing, but in different areas of America. So really, we're wanting to grow the game in America. Got to grow it by doing it in different states, in different areas, not just one set place for all 5 years.
It's interesting you say that because I was listening to Peter Valandis on the Matty John show following the Vegas game, and he said that he got advice off some sport dude in America, and he said that, you know, they're originally going to take it to Los Angeles, but they said that the NRL will get lost there, so they come up with Vegas, and that was the best thing. So I think taking it anywhere else might be a failure. It's a risk.
There's only one way to find out.
I think there's only one way to find out, but I think Vegas is the way to go. In my opinion.
That's fair. But then again, as I said, it might get lost in other places. If anywhere it's going to get lost is Vegas, because it's literally, even though there's sure there was 40,000 people there, as soon as the NRL started up on the Fox Sports 1 channel after the college football team, over 100,000 people switched stations to stop watching the rugby league on their TVs in the US.
The major league rugby.
Major league rugby.
So I think maybe New York would be maybe the go. I'm not too sure. That's just me throwing things up.
New York, Vegas. I reckon, could use the Jets or the New York.
I think Valandis is right with Los Angeles.
Oh, I definitely agree with LA. Definitely don't put it in
I think
LA.
Valandis is right with Los Angeles.
Maybe. Maybe put it in a place where there's like a hometown team.
Something like, I agree.
Maybe Arrowhead. That'd be one for the Chiefs because that's like an out of the way. It's not in LA. It's not in fucking New York. It's not in Vegas. Like people can get around it, sort of thing. And you know who's fans of the Chiefs who would want to fucking go? Ashley Klein. He's a massive fan of the Kansas City Chiefs. So yeah, you'll definitely get him on board for repping if he reps as well as he did this year in next year's America games. He'll go tenfold. Even better if he can referee on the field of his team. Anyway, we've got two final topics. NRL tips. Obviously, round one has already started. I'm currently 4 from 5. My remaining tips for this week, I'll just currently get my phone up. NRL tipping. I should remember bloody every week who I've tipped, but, you know, sometimes don't. So this week, for the remaining
four
games,
from five already.
I'm four from five. The one I've got wrong is the Broncos. I've tipped the Bulldogs to beat the Eels, the Dragons to beat the Titans, the Dragons to beat the Titans, and the Dolphins to beat the Cowboys. What are your remaining tips, and how many tips have you got so far, Reece?
I've got 3 from 5 so far. Obviously, I've got the Broncos, and I backed the Knights to beat the Raiders.
Okay, yep.
Definitely got the power
as well. I got the Raiders, and I put 12. Fuck, Spion, I didn't put 16.
I don't know how you're going to get Canterbury over Parra, mate. That's cheap.
People said the same about the Storm against Penrith and about
and
the
you got
Raiders
the Dragons
and the
beating
Sharks.
The Dragons beating the Titans. Mate, Desi's going to have the Titans firing.
People said the same about the Sharks. And people were like, nah, the Wilds will beat them at home. They didn't.
Yeah, no, I backed the Sharkies, mate. Yeah, so.
Okay, rip up.
And the Dolphins to beat the Cowboys.
Yeah, up the Finns in that one. Fuck the Finns when they play us, but up the Finns when it comes to every other game. Dylan, mate, how have your tips gone so far, and who have you tipped for the rest of the round?
Give us your score, mate.
Mate, I've had an absolute shocker.
Yeah.
I'm 0 for 5. I've picked all the losers so far, and I'm not confident at all with the next three. I've picked the Doggies, the Titans, and the Cowboys.